Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So Derrick Henry signs a massive contract with the Baltimore Ravens that essentially guarantees that he will be their running back this year for a much, I think, well-deserved raise, and for next year, with a fully guaranteed salary. Now, the Ravens can get out of it in 2027 when Derrick will be 33 years old. And Derrick is set to be a free agent again at 34 years old. Derrick was actually asked about whether or not, hey, is this going to be it? You know, as far as your contracts are concerned, said, whoa, I'm not worried about the next contract. I'm just worried about tomorrow. Basically would not say, yeah, this is it for me. And then Pro Football Talk wrote an article after Derrick's contract numbers came out, analyzing if Derrick Henry can be the one to break Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record. Quote, Mike Florio writes, as potentially unbreakable NFL records go, the all-time rushing mark seems to be the one of the most untouchable. If any current player has a chance to get close enough to make things interesting, it's Ravens running back Derrick Henry. He's the active leading rusher with 11,423 yards. That puts him 19th all-time. Already ahead of Hall of Famers like John Riggins, O.J. Simpson, Earl Campbell, Jim Taylor, Larry Zonka, and Terrell Davis. In the early weeks of the 2025 season, Henry will leapfrog Steven Jackson and Fred Taylor, barring serious injury, and let's knock on wood for that. Florio writes, Henry likely will finish 2025 in the top 10. Here's the real question, Florio writes. How high will he go? He's 2,628 yards away from the top six and 3,495 yards away from the top five. So stop right there. Derrick Henry is less than 3,500 rushing yards away from being a top five all-time leading rusher. Well, even when the Titans were bad with Andre Dillard on the line, Derrick was still running for 1,500 yards. He ran for 1,900 yards last year in Baltimore. I'd say given the fact that he's guaranteed to be the Ravens running back for the next 2 years, and he's guaranteed to be playing with Lamar Jackson for those two seasons, barring an injury, Derrick Henry is almost for sure going to be inside the top five in 2 years when he is age 32. Florio writes, and the Emmitt Smith record of 18,355 yards is a mere 6,932 yards away. Yes, Henry, Florio writes, now 31, will need several more years of high-end performance to get there. That said, he has shown no signs of slowing down. While the end can come quickly and Father Time remains undefeated, maybe Derrick Henry is the outlier, just like Emmitt Smith was. So Derrick Henry is 7,000 yards away from breaking Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing record. Again, if I was taking the over-under here, I'd take the under. But there's a couple of things that stuck out in my mind when reading this article at Pro Football Talk and thinking about Derrick Henry and whether or not Derrick Henry is going to be the all-time leading rusher in NFL history, or even a top five rusher in NFL history. The first is this. While most of us look at age 30 for a running back and say, hey, age 30, that's when they start to fall off. Age 30, they're not the same anymore. And many of you told me that at the end when you said, Jared, you have to be honest. He's not the king anymore. And I said, he's the best player on the team running behind a bunch of bozos. Of course, nobody can run through that. Emmitt couldn't run through that. But if there was any running back on the planet today who I would bet on against Father Time, it's Derrick Henry. If there was any football player, nobody is more singularly focused and nobody is going to work harder than Derrick Henry. He is Tom Brady at running back, except he doesn't ever feel the need to write a book about it. He'll do the State Farm commercials. That's as far as he's going to go, and that's it. But again, we watch Derrick Henry every day. We saw every press conference. We saw every workout video. We saw every training session. We saw everything we could see with Derrick Henry. We saw it. You mean to tell me that, and I'm 35 years old. I've been watching football for 25 years. In 25 years, I don't think I've seen a player on a day-in, day-out basis that's more dedicated than Derrick Henry. And I don't think I've seen a football player who training and football and their body means more to them than Derrick Henry. So when we sit there and say, hey, you know, he's probably going to get the 3,500 yards over the next 2 years. Could he get 7 over the next 4? He's got 3 more years on his contract, so he'd need to be 34, and he'd still need to be productive. And 34, even for me, like 34 is up there. But again, don't bet against Tom Brady. Don't bet against Derrick Henry. And the second thing is, you all told me that it was time to move on from Derrick Henry. I was not ready to move on from Derrick Henry because I thought if you were going to try to establish a young quarterback and you wanted to have the culture of a team that continues to fight and that does things the right way, you need Derrick Henry on that team. But you wanted to move on from Derrick Henry. Rand Carthon wanted to move on from Derrick Henry from the second he got here. Paul, who is best buddies with Mike Vrabel, said that the great Mike Vrabel wanted to move on from Derrick Henry, that he wanted to make that trade to pick up a fourth-round pick in exchange for Derrick Henry. So for all people out there that, again, said, hey, running back, 30, etc., how would you feel if he does break Emmitt Smith's record? And of course, if he does it, he'll do it as a Raven. As a Titan fan and as a Derrick Henry fan, I would be absolutely appalled. But the difference between me and everybody else is I wanted to keep Derrick Henry all along. Again, you guys need to be honest with yourselves here. Are you willing to bet against Derrick Henry? And just know, if you're willing to bet against Derrick Henry, then I don't know who you're going to bet on. I don't think there's anybody else I'd rather bet on than bet on Derrick Henry. And just know that if he does run for 7,000 more yards, and 7,000's a lot, if he does run for 7,000 more yards, and he breaks that all-time record as a Raven, everybody will remember Derrick Henry as a Raven. That Derrick Henry will be one of the few players who ended up on a second team, who everybody remembers them with that team. Drew Brees started on the Chargers. Everybody remembers him as a New Orleans Saint. How would you feel? Would you be okay with it? Because, well, we needed to move on to Tony Pollard, who the coach even said yesterday he'd like to give less carries to because he doesn't think he's built for all those carries. Or Derrick Henry, again, the guy who I think is the best player who's ever played for the Tennessee Titans. But the fact that we're even having this discussion, in my opinion, tells you just how bad the Titans whiffed on where Derrick Henry really was in his career. Because I don't think they thought he was running for 1,900 yards last year. But again, that's what you get with Rand Carthon. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And yesterday I made fun of Brian Callahan because he's got this cockamamie new idea, this scheme to try to get more leaders on the team. And when looking at Derrick Henry, and again, whether or not he's going to break Emmitt Smith's record, he's definitely going to end up as a top five back in terms of rushing yards because he's going to run for 3,500 more yards. There was one thing yesterday, listening to the four H's and these eight teams and trying to define leaders and everything else, that I cannot get out of my head. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. It's Stillman & Company. 1025 The Game.
There is a leadership emphasis. And part of the reason I did what I did with our dividing our team up into teams is there's no, now they're all accountable to each other on that team. There's a leadership that starts to grow because now each team has a captain and an alternate, and now you've got more people in leadership spots. One of the things I think is unique about the process is it allows those guys to start to find their own voices, and it's not about, you know, an offense versus defense. It's much more of a holistic team approach to it. We encourage these guys to spend a lot more time together, you know, both in the building and out of it. It's been a focus for us, and I think you can develop leadership. I don't think leaders are necessarily just walk into a room ready to lead. I think there's skills you have to learn. You have to have the communication as a leader. You have to know your teammates. We spend a lot more time trying to get to know each other on a level that I think is going to be beneficial to fostering more leadership for more people.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan yesterday. Again, we need more leaders, he said yesterday. That's why I have turned to the Disney tactic to try to find more leaders on the team. I'm separating offense, defense, special teams. I'm putting them all together. I am putting eight teams and everybody represents, and let's see if guys will develop as leaders. And let's, again, that worked in Remember the Titans. The problem is that's a movie. That's not real life. And even if it were a true story, it's only based on a true story. It doesn't mean that everything in the story is real. And so as I listened to Brian Callahan yesterday talk about these new cockamamie ideas he's got in order to get more and better leaders on the football team, eight teams mixed between offense, defense, and special teams that will all participate in challenges to earn points for their team in a system with which we don't actually know, and they don't know, because Tony Pollard was asked about it yesterday, didn't have an answer. They don't know what they're going to win. And I heard that, and I laughed out loud, and I just thought to myself, this is the NFL. This is not a one-week baseball camp for elementary school kids where lunch may or may not be provided. But I don't believe what Brian Callahan said when it came to leaders. This idea that, you know what, you develop leaders, that you make them. No, I think some people are leaders, and then as they become more confident based upon doing, they develop the leadership skills with which the natural talent they already have, and some people just aren't. You don't make them. You acquire them. And I look at the football team, and I'm like, you know, when Mike Vrabel, again, leader, Mike Vrabel walked out the door, they replaced him with Brian Callahan. I'm not convinced Brian Callahan's a great leader. I don't think he holds people accountable. I don't think that he's realistic and pushing others in order to fix problems. I think he just says, give it your best try, PT. And that's that. And then after they hired Brian Callahan, they showed the door to Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. And they had already said goodbye to Kevin Byard. And then they let go of Harold Landry. And, you know, I was actually surprised when they let go of Harold Landry because Chad Brinker did two interviews in which he highlighted Harold Landry's effort down the stretch last year as a big part of the team, saying, hey, we weren't very good, but Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry were busting their asses at the end of the year. And then he got rid of Harold Landry. And Chad Brinker is such a strong leader that he can't even hold a press conference with the cameras and the recording devices on. The truth is, because, again, when you're unhappy with one person, you then try to find the exact opposite. They were unhappy with Vrabel, who, again, was about accountability and leadership. And look, I thought Vrabel needed to go too, but that doesn't mean that I thought that leadership didn't matter. I definitely thought it mattered. They have let Ryan Tannehill go and Kevin Byard go and Derrick Henry go and Mike Vrabel go, and they have replaced it with zero leadership. Legarius Sneed. And not all great players are great leaders. A.J. Brown is not a great leader. He is a great player. And leaders aren't just paid to lead, they're paid to produce. But the Titans have put such little emphasis on leadership that now, again, they're turning to the Disney films for advice on how to get leadership into their building. And I keep looking at Derrick Henry and I keep listening to Derrick Henry, and I keep seeing Derrick Henry run for 87 yards on Sunday Night Football for a touchdown against the Bills. I watched Derrick Henry run for 1,900 yards last year for the Ravens. And I think, couldn't you have just kept the leader that you already had? The front page of the team yearbook last year, and I don't know where I got the team yearbook from. I don't know if I got it at the game. I don't know if I got it at a practice. I don't know if they sent it to my house. I don't know how I got it, but I got it. And it was on the coffee table at our house. You know who was on the cover of it? Jeffrey Simmons, not a leader. Will Levis, not a leader. DeAndre Hopkins, not a leader. L'Jarius Sneed, not a leader. And Calvin Ridley, I would venture to say, not a leader. Zero emphasis. Again, Tannehill, Henry, Byard, those guys were leaders. You have to have those kind of players. It matters. And so, again, Brian Callahan can do whatever he wants. He can sit there and he can say, you know, we've come up with this new system. I was watching an episode of Dora the Explorer, and I thought they made a great point in watching that episode. So our team is now going to do what I saw on Dora the Explorer. And maybe he can see if that'll get him a leader one way or another. I keep thinking, you really want leadership? Build a time machine, go back to when you first got here, and go beg Derrick Henry to stay. Because those are the kind of players that you win with and that lead your team. But again, Vrabel was a leader, and they wanted to move on from that. So they just anointed Jeffrey Simmons king leader, even though he's got zero leadership qualities. Zero. Will Levis, king leader. Zero leadership qualities. As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? 615-737-1025 is our phone number on the program. 615-737-1025. Again, like Derek today was talking about, you know, John Harbaugh did the same thing Callahan did. He moved guys around the locker room and, you know, mixed offense and defense. Great. Did he get up and hold a press conference and talk about, I built 8 teams of different guys to challenge for prizes that we haven't even announced what they are because, yay! I highly doubt that. Pretty sure Harbaugh's a little bit more serious than that. All right, your phones. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company. Let's talk about Nashville's best deal. That's right. This week, the Nashville best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, with a buy one, get one free admission. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking, tubes, and sunscreen are always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last.
What does it mean to you to kind of, you know, for the Ravens to go and, you know, commit to you for even more than, you know, was last year as well?
You know, I'm just very grateful for this organization. You know, just like last year, coming off the season I had, you know, I wasn't really happy, and, you know, I wanted to prove myself and just get an opportunity, and they gave me that opportunity, and, you know, I'm very appreciative of how much, you know, they value me to give me an extension, and, you know, I just want to show them how much it means to me and how much this organization means to me by the way I work and what I do on the field.
I just want to thank the smart team that makes good decisions and wins a lot of football games. I just want to thank them for committing to me in a way that the dumb team who tried to get rid of me for an entire year never would have done. Again, Rand Carthon showed up as the general manager. I asked him at his introductory press conference how much he valued the running game, and he made that comment about not wanting to play Golden State Warriors football, and then proceeded to go to the combine and try to trade Derrick Henry. Then after that, they did not give Derrick Henry a contract extension. Instead, they tried to trade Derrick Henry at the deadline. Rand has since denied that, although the Ravens are willing to go on the record and tell you the exact terms of the deal. So I got a pretty good idea that it's probably true. And then Rand Carthon and company let Derrick Henry walk for nothing. That's what bad teams do. good teams say, hey, there's a good player out there. Let's go get him. The Eagles did it with Saquon Barkley. The Packers did it with Josh Jacobs. And the Ravens did it with Derrick Henry. Phones are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Now Derrick is getting $15 million a year for the next 2 years, and we'll see what they end up doing as far as the year 33 is concerned for Derrick, which would be 2027, in which the Ravens could choose Derrick or not Derrick. Chris in Nashville says the Titans wasted 2 years of Derrick Henry. I wonder when you say wasted 2 years of Derrick Henry, if you mean they wasted the first 2 years where Derrick Henry sat the bench behind DeMarco Murray, or if they wasted 2018 where Matt LaFleur sat him on the bench and the great Mike Vrabel sat him on the bench for the first 12 games until he broke off a 99-yarder and had a 268-yard rushing performance against Jacksonville. Or if you're talking about the last 2 years in 2022 and 2023, where they had these terrible teams and Derrick Henry still made them watchable. Which one are you talking about when you say the 2 years they wasted for Derrick Henry? Again, look, the record with Emmitt Smith is the record, and I'm not taking anything away from Emmitt Smith or Walter Payton or anybody who is in that grouping. But I'm going to say this. If Derrick Henry had gotten to run behind those Cowboy offensive lines, Nate Newton, Flozell the Hotel Adams, Larry Allen, those guys, Moose Johnson in the backfield, Jay Novacek at tight end, Derrick might have a million rushing yards. I'm just serious. I also love, I'm reading some, I was not, today, again, I had a tree fall in last night's storm in the middle of my driveway, so I've been kind of busy this morning. Chris in Nashville texted to the Chase and Big Joe show at 9:20 a.m. and said, I'm embarrassed for Callahan. My office has team building exercises. The last one was building gingerbread houses. I am dead serious. I couldn't believe it. I mean, again, there are people that are like paid gobbles of money, paid handsomely in these positions. Good positions that do things, again, like Brian Callahan with, you know, I tried to come up with eight teams of team building bonding exercises because this is what to do in the NFL. I'm like, what? It's amazing. And there is no place that does it as much and as often as corporate America. Ray in Clarksville says, I think Derrick Henry can break Emmitt Smith's record. He can do it in five more years. Is there a way that he does it with the Ravens or comes back to Tennessee or any other team will pick him up? I think he can do it in 5 years. So in order for Derrick Henry to break the record, I think he has to have another 1,900-yard season this year because, again, he's 7,000 away. And Adam Vingan texted me and said it's like 1,500 yards a season for the next five seasons. And Derrick averages 1,400 yards a season, but again, we have to keep in mind that the Titans kept him on the bench for the first 2 years. He'd have to have 1,900 probably this season and 1,500 the next season. Then I think he's got a shot. The Ravens will keep him at age 33 for 2027. He can deliver another 1,600 yards. Then the question has to be, can he get, you know, does he have at 34 years old? Does he have another 1,000-yard season? If I had to bet today, yes or no, is Derrick Henry going to break the record? I would bet no. Now, Derrick Henry will absolutely end up in the top five. He's going to rush for 3,500 more yards. But I would bet no. But I wouldn't be stunned if he did it. Because even though 34 is dinosaur ages for a running back, Derrick Henry is different. The best players in sports are different. Ovechkin is different. Tom Brady, different. I looked up Willie Mays' stats earlier today because Willie Mays was different. You know, Barry Bonds hit all those home runs after he turned 35. We can't really, you know, bury that. Barry was probably different. You know, I was talking to Kurt Schilling about this, about Barry one time, and Schilling was like, this guy never needed to take steroids. That's what everybody says, but Barry did take steroids. So put him out. Willie Mays, wins above replacement. That's the big stat that people in baseball kind of highlight. And Willie in his heyday was, you know, 10, 11 wins above replacement per season, which is absolutely incredible. Willie Mays was 6.3 wins above replacement, which could win you an MVP award. Willie Mays at age 40. We know about Brady in his 40s. We know about very few guys can do that. Todd Gurley couldn't do it. Well, Todd Gurley's not one of the all-time greats. I'm not betting against Derrick Henry to do that because I think Derrick Henry's one of those guys. I think he's wired that way, just differently. And I hope he does it. As much as it'll hurt me to watch him do it in a Ravens uniform, and gosh, that would hurt. I hope he does it. He stands for all the right things. He treats people the right way. He has, again, done, he has been crapped on by the Titans so many times in his career. I hope he does it. Jeff said, Derrick Henry's 1,900 yards last year is just more evidence of a sustained terrible Titans offensive line that the team has been incapable of fixing. They were unable to see when Henry was smacked in the backfield as soon as he was handed the ball that the line was the problem, not Derrick Henry. I wonder where the Ravens' offensive line ranks. Well, they have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle, who's one of the best left tackles in the NFL. They have Tyler Linderbaum at center, who's one of the best centers in the NFL. And they're constantly turning in and out guards. The Ravens' offensive line is solid. I also think it helps that he has Lamar Jackson. Now, the one thing that does drive me crazy is D-Mace, you know, was like, well, you wouldn't get the Derrick Henry in Baltimore that you would have had here. And I have a producer at Sirius who's a huge Giants fan. And last year during the year, I was like, how stupid is Joe Shane? We can't afford Saquon Barkley, so let's let him go to the Eagles where he will run right into the Hall of Fame. And he said, yeah, well, it's not like Saquon would have done all that with the Giants. Right. But when Derrick Henry goes to the Ravens and runs like that, when Saquon goes to the Eagles and runs like that, what it's telling you is that Derrick Henry is not the problem. Saquon Barkley is not the problem. You don't need to move on from Derrick Henry. You need to be better around Derrick Henry. That's what it's telling you. Again, I kept saying this offensive line is so bad. I think it's so bad. Dillard and Daly, and Brewer, and Duncan, and these bums. And yet it was like, nope, we got to move on from Derrick. I mean, we just can't. We just can't. I mean, we just can't have Derrick Henry. One texter says, I think Coach Callahan's plan is at least interesting, and it might be effective. Managing an army is a matter of managing your generals. Consider the differences between the vision and execution, motivation and control, leadership versus management. It's an effective way to keep everyone engaged to a higher standard, which keeps them under consistent evaluation, which, in my opinion, is necessary for a performance and a results-driven industry. Stop farting all over everyone's ideas just because it wasn't yours and embrace them trying something new. About Brian Callahan's Disney Plus decision to put 8 teams competing for prizes in which they don't know exist. Yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's not about managing the generals. That's not the issue here. It's about who the generals are. That's the issue. Last year, you thought your generals were DeAndre Hopkins on the cover of your team yearbook, who was pouting in the middle of a game last year. You thought your generals were Will Levis, who thought he was playing quarterback in a movie, not playing quarterback in the NFL, and Jeffrey Simmons, who's throwing punches in practice and chewing out buck. Give me a break. One texter says, if he breaks the record as a Baltimore Raven, he will go in the Hall of Fame as a Raven. That does not happen in football. That is baseball. Baseball, you go into the Hall of Fame with a team's cap. You do not do that in football. And I will say, though, if Derrick Henry breaks the record, breaks Emmitt Smith's record as a Baltimore Raven, he will be remembered as a Baltimore Raven. The same way that Drew Brees is remembered as a New Orleans Saint, not as a San Diego Charger. And that's a shame. But that's just a fact. Rodney Harrison is remembered as a New England Patriot, not as a San Diego Charger. Oh, man. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
So spent a lot of meeting time wise, you know, where we went wrong last year. You know, he did the self-scout portion of it, the technique of things. But it's just the emphasis of it, you know, making guys aware. At some point, I can take you guys through, now probably isn't the perfect time for it, but just how we've set up the off-season program. I think guys have really bought into it. You can maybe ask them a few more questions, maybe they'll give you some more insight. But how we set it up, we've divided our team into competitive teams. We have 8 teams now that compete daily, which you guys have seen some of the stuff on social media, just post-practice competitions. There's points on the line for everything we do. So there's an emphasis daily, and there's negative points. So to your point, Paul, about, you know, how do you teach it? Well, if you jump off sides in a group drill, you know, those are negative points for your team. And so it's emphasized every day. We look at it, we talk about it. It's on our players' forefront of their minds sort of every time we step in the building. So those are the things we have to get better at for sure on top of the scheme. But I'm excited about, you know, what we've done and how we've done it, and we'll see if it pays off.
There you go. That's Brian Callahan's new scheme, his new idea. This is what we're going to do. We are going to go out there and we are going to divide up our team, and we're going to have points and systems and everything. It's going to be fun. And I'm like, these are millionaires. This is the NFL. Jason Fitz joins us now on the program, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Fitz, we start there. When you hear that, Brian Callahan thought long and hard about the mistakes the teams made last year, and that is the way he's going to fix it. What do you think?
I guess the onus, this is the first time I've heard that. All right. So as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking your decision to make as a coach to create the culture you need to create in year two is to create more sense of competition. Like, there isn't enough of that from the minute you get in. So I don't know, man. That feels very – all of that feels like something a high school coach does more than an NFL coach. Like, it just, it feels a little surprising to me. At some point, Callahan's got to figure out what is the landmark thing that he brings to an organization. And competition certainly isn't a new message. That just feels like a weird way to deliver that message. And look, I'm a long time believer that every type of locker room is different. Some locker rooms are big on, you know, we're all professionals. Some locker rooms are young and having fun. I can't imagine a locker room that needs a point system that's given or taken away every day based on what they do to be motivated. It feels weird to me. It feels very cheesy.
So I compared it to like an elementary school day camp where, you know, lunch may or may not be served. I mean, to me, I said this yesterday, Fitz, when it came to Callahan, and I asked, you know, can he actually change? Can he hold people accountable? Can he not be optimistic that the best case scenario is going to work out all the time? Because that absolutely doomed him in year one. I hear this and it makes me think the answer is no. Am I wrong for that?
I think it's tough, man. Like, ultimately, look, full transparency, I'm a fan of the Raiders. We all know that. And Pete Carroll comes in every day and says, we're going to compete in everything we do. And I've talked to a couple of guys that I think are close to in that locker room. And they've talked about how, you know, what that means. Because I've asked the question, what does competition mean? And competition means that he's the type of person that he just brings that competition out in everything that they do somehow, some way. I haven't heard anything about a point scoring system. And yeah, it just feels very elementary, I think, is probably a good way to put it. And I don't know that that's the way that you put your mark on an organization. Like, just think about the great coaches in the NFL, like the truly landmark, the coaches that we all seem to respect all the time. And most of them, I almost feel like you can put their caricature down in 2 or 3 sentences of who they are organizationally and why it works. And I just don't know that feels like any of that. It feels lost. It feels like you're grasping at straws. And I hate saying that going into year two, but I don't know. I think if you really want to compete, you want to create a competitive culture, that comes from winning football games. Like, winning football games and bringing in people that are wired to compete with you at everything that you ever do in any way, shape, or form.
Jason Fitz is with us on the program. Callahan, speaking of competition, said that they're splitting the reps at OTAs. Titans Twitter decided that meant that it's Levis versus Ward, period, and they're not happy about that. I think Callahan's actually more likely to start Brandon Allen at quarterback than he would Will Levis. That's just my personal opinion. But I do ask you this. With Denver on the road week one, with a new left tackle, with a center coming back from injury who probably won't be around for much of training camp, a new right guard and a new right tackle in one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, Fitz, would it not be a good idea to sit Cam Ward the first couple of weeks, Denver week one, the Rams week two, and let Brandon Allen or let Will Levis get the teeth kicked in, let the offensive line come together, and then play Cam? We've seen plenty of time, including Drake May last year, where a team has a young quarterback, sits for the first month or two, or I'm just asking for the first two games. Is it too crazy to ask for that?
No, look, I think in my mind, bringing your future franchise quarterback along slowly is always the right play. And look at Jaden Daniels, who obviously was not brought along slowly in the minds of some. But then I will say, go back and watch the film of the first month of his games and even look at the way we were talking about him. And people were literally laughing at that offense with Cliff Kingsbury in the first month, challenging whether or not Jaden Daniels was even going to try and throw the ball forward. In fact, if you look at his pass splits in the first month, most of his passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage at an alarming rate because Cliff Kingsbury knew, hey, we're playing this kid, but we're not really playing him. Like, we're going to wait until midseason to start opening up the offense, which is what happened with Jaden Daniels. I think the best approach for your future franchise, for if you really want to bring Cam Ward along the right way, then you put Cam Ward in when he's good and ready and not a second too soon for that. So, you know, I don't think there's a battle and there shouldn't be a battle. I also think that you're sort of stuck organizationally because he needs every rep right now. He needs to get comfortable. The team needs every rep right now in front of him. All of these reps have to matter for a team that's going to try and get some level of continuity. But the fact is, no, if I ran the Titans right now, if I was the GM of the Tennessee Titans, my edict to my coaching staff would be, look, Cam Ward's going to be here long before every one of you will be. I believe in Cam Ward. He's our number one pick. So whatever you got to do to bring him along the right way, I don't care about a win week one, week two, week three. I care about making sure that when my quarterback gets on the field, he has the opportunity to be as successful as possible. And I care that you're not ruining him. Like, it's just, this is just that moment where great teams, or great quarterbacks, I should say, aren't ruined by their organization in the beginning. And I will always maintain that Trevor Lawrence, in part, has never really lived up to it because the Jags have done everything they can to ruin the guy from day one. I don't want the Titans to do that to Cam Ward. So that means having a game plan that is far, far bigger than week one against the Broncos. Week one no longer matters against the Broncos. If you're a Titans fan today, the only thing that matters is Cam Ward an elite-looking quarterback by weeks 13, 14, 15, 16.
Fitz, last one for you. The tush push stays, which I'm fine with. I mean, I do understand that, like, a quarterback could break his neck doing it. And flag football is in for the Olympics in 2028 for NFL players, and I couldn't give two poops about that. Do you care about the flag football and Roger Goodell and his whole international push and all of that?
I'll just credit Charles Robinson because I didn't care until we did inside coverage this week. And Charles spent a long time talking about the fact that the league is so passionate about the growth of the game internationally, and players are passionate about the monetary opportunities that came for people like Kobe when they were able to play in places like China. This is about the Patrick Mahomes of the world being able to play without a helmet on, which is a huge marketing opportunity for him. And frankly, the NFL, according to C. Rob, it really opened my eyes. The NFL looked at the NBA and said, look, all you need to play basketball all around the world is just a hoop and a ball. So if you're the NFL and you really want to grow globally, additionally to the one game a week that we're going to end up with, I think we'll end up with 18 international games a year in the next CBA. But in addition to that, you've got to find a way to grow your game participation globally. I do believe that the NFL is going to end up investing massively in flag football to make that matter. So even though it's not, I don't think it's really for NFL fans necessarily. It's a totally different game, but the NFL is going to use it to market their players, to market their game. I think the NFL is going to legitimately be investing in flag football at an alarming rate for the next 10 years.
Yeah, but Jordan and Pippen and Barkley and Magic and Bird, they didn't go to Barcelona and play 3-on-3. Like, they played real basketball. This idea that, like, this is going to be, like, the dream team and the global phenomenon, I don't buy. And secondly, I don't care. Personally, and I know the owners don't care what I care about, but I don't care about the international growth of the NFL. I just don't. I see what they're doing. I just think it's a little overrated.
C-Rob said that the league is so passionate about it, the owners are, that they are comfortable with the risk of injury that comes with it, because to them, even if a star player is lost to injury by playing in the Olympics, it's worth it for the growth of what it means for the sport. That's how much they believe it's going to make an impact in Egypt and India and China and all these places that they want to be able to market their game to eventually. I'm with you. It's much different than the Dream Team. I just think that this is inevitable with the NFL. Like, I'd be pretty stunned if the NFL isn't investing in flag football leagues that are growing across America. But I don't think the NFL audience in America is really they're okay with the fact that you don't care. They don't need you to care. They need random people that would never consider football to care, that live in Beijing and then watch it and say, man, that was so cool. I'm going to pick up a football. And just like all you need is a ball and a hoop, if you're not tackling, all you need is a ball in a yard and you can play flag football.
Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Great stuff as always. We'll talk soon, Fitz.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks.
Yep, Jason Fitz on our program. Okay, I have got to talk about our midday show, DVD, because I think they owe me and you an apology. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.